Good evening, everybody. I'm calling the county board meeting to order. And if the clerk would please call the roll.
Yang. Yang here. Andre. Andre absent. Blazewicz. Blazewicz here. Betcher. Betcher absent. Bollig. Bollig here. Brower.
Brower here.
Brower here. Chavla. Chavla here. Doolin. Doolin here. Downing.
Downing here.
Downing here. Eicher. Eicher. Engelberger. Engelberger here. Erickson. Erickson here. Fries. Fries here. Furman. Furman here. Glazer. Glazer here. Gray.
Gray here.
Gray here. Huselman. Huselman. Jackson. Jackson here. Kemp. Kemp here. Kageya. Kageya here. Crowning. Crowning here. Marin.
Marin here.
Marin here. McCarville.
McCarville here.
Carvel here. Peters.
Here.
Peters here. Peterson.
Peterson here.
Peterson here. Postler.
Postler here.
Postler here. Ritt.
Ritt here.
Ritt here. Rose. Rose here. Rose here. Rylander. Rylander here. Smith. Smith here. Udell. Udell here. Udell here. Veldrin. Here. Veldrin here. Wegleitner. Wegleitner here. Wagon. Here. Wagon here. Welsh. Here. Welsh here. Miles.
Miles here.
Miles here. We have a quorum.
All right. Quorum being present, we shall proceed. And before moving on to the inspirational message, we all received emails notifying us of the passing of Meg Crone, the deputy controller. So I would like to take a moment to reflect in memory of Meg, have a moment of silence. Thank you. Thank you. And with that, move on to our inspirational message delivered tonight by Supervisor Yang.
Thank you, Chair Miles. Supervisors, colleagues, and friends, unfortunately, my message for you today is not very inspirational, as I am exhausted, I'm tired physically and mentally, and I don't have the mental capacity to write a message that is inspirational. So I asked AI to write me an inspirational message because I wanted to just pull through and go through the motions. However, I will spare you all from listening to it because it's very dry and bland and not personal, nor reflective of the deep nuances that exist in our current climate and how my personal story is directly connected to the attacks on my identity. Did you guys know that the month of April is Hmong Heritage Month? I was born in Laos during a very tumultuous and dark time. My father was a child soldier who fought alongside American GIs in the secret war. And he, along with his fellow Hmong brothers, fought for Americans. They fought for American ideology. They fought for American values. And many Hmong child soldiers died for a country they've never seen or ever heard of. There's a word in the Hmong language, Da Fa, and for the longest time, I had no idea what it meant. I had heard my mother speak of it in conversations when she spoke of the past and what they had to do to escape fascism. But it wasn't until I was much older and learned about the history of my people in our diaspora that I understood fully what that word meant. And the only English word equivalent to is not a word, but it's more so an explanation. Living in the jungles to escape genocide. During this time, I was an infant and was born into this chaos. At this time, hundreds of Hmong babies, infants, died from opiate overdose, as it was used to calm babies who were crying so the Pathet Lao wouldn't be able to pinpoint the location of those living in the jungles. I was quite fortunate and it's probably the reason why I am here today and able to tell my story, because my mom chose to not give me opium. We no longer have jungles we can escape to. And never in my lifetime did I ever think that I'd ever have to escape fascism again, let alone have my parents go through it again, as they do not have the energy or the youth they once did. So today my speech isn't very inspirational. Rather, it's a command, a charge for you to take a stance on whether the values that my dad fought for and that Hmong boys died to uphold are important. When I hear some of you talk about what's going on, and I share my valid concerns about this administration and the damage that it is causing, I am met with neutrality and quietness, as if my perspective was paranoia and borderline crazy. Our stance and our approach right now should not be neutral nor quiet. So my question to you is, what are you doing to stand up for the values that you claim to represent, that Hmong people died for? Now, I can't speak for all BIPOC people because we are not a monolith, but I can speak from my own perspective. As a person of color, I live and breathe and coexist in spaces where I am constantly overwhelmed by elephants in the room. What do I mean by this? We all recognize that there is a large elephant in the room, that our country is no longer a democracy and we are living under a dictator. For those with privilege, it is easy for you to escape this reality. It is easy for you to disregard and even navigate through the spaces where the elephant doesn't affect you. However, for BIPOC folks, we cannot escape it. We can't escape the elephant in the room because we don't just see one large elephant. We see hundreds, even thousands of elephants. And that makes it impossible for us to escape or have respite. In addition to this, it's as if we have an elephant sitting right on top of us. For we carry the weight of our parents, our grandparents, and our ancestors, all of their trauma, their sacrifices, and we continue to carry it. So when a person of color tells you politely that they don't care for performative measures and want to see real change, they say it because they can't continue to carry the weight of their ancestors and fight against all the other thousands of elephants they see every single day. So instead of an inspirational message, I leave you with this challenge, probably the biggest challenge you'll ever come across. When the time comes, will you be ready to stand alongside BIPOC folks and die for us? Will you use your body, your privilege, and your wealth to stand against fascism? Because it's here, and the time is now. I do not need you to tell me it's going to be okay. I need you to show up in the most radical way, like the willingness to put your life on the line, because that's what it's going to take to stop this madness. This means you need to determine whether you are willing to sacrifice your livelihood, your own self, to save those who are most impacted and affected by this madness and this chaos. Are you willing to die for your neighbors? Are you willing to put your body on the line when you see ICE arrest someone in broad daylight? Because this is where we are at. This is the moment. And I need you all to see the seriousness of the situation and ask yourself, how much are you willing to sacrifice to stay complicit and silent to the deterioration of your values and the complete and utter destruction and disregard for our Constitution and our democracy? The time is here. I hope that you will match your actions with your values, as we BIPOC folks are tired and we can't anymore. So in protest of the current administration, all the EOs attacking our public services, all the firings and dismantling of public services, the tariffs that have caused our economy and stock market to decline significantly, all the anti-DEI rhetoric that is a direct assault on anyone who is not white, and the rise of fascism and white supremacy, I will not be leading or joining in the Pledge of Allegiance until this current administration is removed and brought to justice. Instead, I will sit down in silence in solidarity for those affected by these atrocities. And I welcome you all to join me. Thank you.
I'll start the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Supervisor Yang. All right, we're now on to special matters. Our first item tonight under special matters is 2024 Resolution 396, recognizing April 2025 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month and April 6th through 12th, 2025 as National Crime Victims Rights Week. Rights Week. Supervisor Walsh.
2024 Res 396, recognizing April 2025 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and April 6th through 12th, 2025 as National Crime Victims Rights Week. Whereas April is recognized nationally as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the 2025 theme is Together We Act, United We Change. And whereas this theme is a call to action to prevent sexual abuse, harassment and assault, to foster safety, support and empowerment, which starts by recognizing the need to continue educating, amplifying survivor voices, and engaging people of all ages in creating a future free from sexual violence. And whereas sexual violence remains a deeply pervasive issue, not only in Dane County, but in the United States. More than 53% of women and over 29% of men report experiencing sexual violence in their lifetimes. In Wisconsin, 1 in 5 high school students reports being forced into unwanted sexual activity, and 43% of LGBTQ plus youth report experiencing sexual assault or coercion. And whereas these statistics reflect the alarming prevalence of sexual violence, this April, it's important to raise awareness and recognize the strength, resilience, and courage of survivors by uplifting their voices, fostering healing, and reaffirming our commitment to building a safer, more compassionate, and empowered community for all. And whereas the week of April 6th through 12th, 2025, recognizes National Crime Victims' Rights Week with the theme Kinship, which calls for people to elevate our shared humanity in supporting all survivors and victims of crime. And whereas this theme reflects the need for kinship with survivors to drive connections, strengthen access to services and rights, and foster healing. And whereas in 2023, the US recorded 22.5 violent victimizations per 1,000 people aged 12 or older, while acknowledging that many incidents remain unreported, the lifelong impacts of violence on survivors and their families demand continued education, prevention, and trauma-informed support. And whereas Dane County is committed to advancing justice, equity, and safety by supporting local organizations, advocates, and initiatives that work continuously to end violence and promote healing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes April 2025 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month and April 6th through 12th, 2025 as National Crime Victims' Rights Week in Dane County and honors the strength, resilience, and courage of survivors. Be it further resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors is committed to advancing policies and supporting local organizations and initiatives to prevent violence, uphold victims' rights, and ensure accessible, compassionate, and culturally responsive support for all survivors. Be it finally resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors encourages community members and organizations to support local advocacy efforts, reflect on the impacts of violence towards members of our community, and work for a future of justice, safety, and healing for all. So moved.
Moved by Walsh, seconded by Blazewicz. Do you want to make any remarks, or should we move to our guests?
I think we can move to our guests. Can I introduce the first guest?
Go ahead.
It's my genuine honor to welcome Dana Palaban, a familiar face around here, director of Rape Crisis Center. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
My name is Dana Palaban. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I am the executive director of RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center, one of the oldest rape crisis centers in the nation. I would first like to thank Chair Miles and the Dane County Board of Supervisors for your recognition of survivors and their resilience and the hard work that many victim service agencies provide in Dane County. In addition, I want to express our gratitude to the Dane County Executive Melissa Agard and Interim Director of the Department of Health and Human Services, Astra Akumare, for their steadfast commitment to survivors through funding and working hand in hand with organizations like ours. 1 in 4 female-identified persons and 1 in 6 male-identified persons across our nation have experienced sexual violence. However, in Wisconsin, 1 in 3 female-identified persons and 1 in 5 male-identified persons have experienced sexual violence. These numbers are unacceptable. This is a public health crisis. On the 5th-year anniversary of Marcy's Law, which put victim rights into our state constitution, and during Sexual Assault Awareness Month, victim service agencies like RCC are facing unprecedented funding cuts. As the only 24-hour crisis response agency for victims of sensitive crimes, our ability to serve survivors is at risk. The gaps that already exist in our system are vast, and agencies are leaning on each other more than ever, with less people and less resources available to serve the community of survivors in Dane County. With more cuts in funding, we are risking these gaps turning into chasms, where survivors are falling through the cracks of our system. In addition, prevention programming that works to address harm doers and educate the community can be lost. A loss of funding means less services available. A loss of funding means that people do not have access to life-saving help. A loss of funding means that survivors have to choose between staying with their perpetrators of violence while experiencing violence just to have their basic needs met or becoming unhoused. A loss of funding means higher levels of perpetration and even death, because there are less services available to help. Dane County, it has a unique opportunity to be forward-thinking in relation to victim services. While we all need advocacy at the state level for the budget measure proposed by Governor Evers, we also need the local governments and community to recognize that the needs are larger than this stopgap measure. A resolution of values is important. Budgetary priorities for victim services to support these value statements are equally imperative. I want to thank Supervisor Welsh, who also does this work every day and deeply understands the struggle organizations like mine face. Her spearheading this effort means that I have an opportunity to speak for our survivors. This is precious. They rely on advocacy like this to ensure that they have a pathway to hope and to healing. Thank you.
I also want to recognize some folks that I believe we have online as well.
Yep, Amy Brown.
Amy Brown, Director of the Dane County Victim Witness Program. And I think, I'm just
Kim
looking
Curran
over.
And Kim online.
Curran, forensic nurse examiner with Meritor and Dane Mac.
So, Amy, you can unmute yourself if you'd like to make some remarks.
Thank you, Chair Miles. And to Supervisor Welsh for introducing this important resolution. My name is Amy Brown, and I'm the Director of Victim Witness Services in the Dane County District Attorney's Office. I, too, would like to start with my sincere gratitude for our County Executive, Melissa Agard, and her incredible team, to this County Board, to all the professionals in the Dane County District Attorney's Office who work tirelessly to respond to crime and those impacted by crime. To all of our law enforcement partners, all of our nonprofit agencies, to the compassionate Dane County community we live in, but most importantly, to all the crime victims we honor this week. Your strength, your courage, and your stories are a true inspiration to all of us. No one plans to be a crime victim. It just happens one day. No one sets aside a rainy day fund to respond to their own victimization. Crime just happens out of the blue when you least expect it. For crime victims, the impact ranges from an inconvenience to a full-blown trauma to a life-altering reality. It catches people who are just living their lives, dealing with human struggles. Maybe they're grieving a death in their family or dealing with health challenges or financial troubles. Maybe they're living in fear of unjustified deportation and marginalization. Maybe they're struggling with a mental health issue. They're in the middle of a divorce, just got in a car accident, you name it. And then out of the blue, they become a crime victim one day. Lives can be shattered by crime. No one is immune. It could happen to each of us at any moment. What happens next is critical for healing, and each one of us can and does play a role in promoting healing. Whether it's a moment of compassion and warmth offered to a victim, or working hard towards preserving programs and services to crime victims, we all can do something to promote healing and repair harm. In 2024, the Dane County Victim Witness Unit provided services to just over 9,000 crime victims in 1 year. In 2020, when Marcy's Law passed and crime victims were granted additional rights and services with no additional funding, both our county executive and our county board responded to help make those new promises a reality. Today, thanks to many of you right here in this room, we can celebrate those additional services and rights. Marcy's Law has made a difference. It has elevated and empowered crime victims in the justice system. We simply could not have met our mandate without new positions, and you made that happen for crime victims in this county. I thank you. This week, we collectively remember crime victims in this progressive and compassionate county we call Dane. I am truly honored to do this work here and with all of you. Thank you for taking the time today and this week in April to remember and honor crime victims in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. And Kim, if you would like to make some remarks, you can unmute yourself.
Hi, thank you so much. My name is Kim Curran, and I'm with Dane County Multi-Agency Center, or Dane MAC, and I've worked in the area of forensic medicine now for 20 years. Been in medicine for 25. I would like to take a few moments to address the same topics that we've been talking about here tonight, but from a medical standpoint as well. In addition to my work in forensics, I also care for individuals within a family practice setting. And the trauma that I see in the population long-term is something that we haven't touched on tonight. So sexual assault touches many of our lives and demands immediate attention and support. Funding for sexual assault services and prevention programs is in dire need. This issue transcends the statistics that we've heard here. It is affecting aspirations of dreams of individuals that I have worked with throughout my years in forensics and also in family practice. Sexual assault is not just a personal issue, it is a societal issue. It impacts families, it impacts friends, and it impacts our community. The statistics that we've heard each represent a person who is someone's child, sister, brother, or friend, whose pain often goes unheard or unnoticed until someone is ready and is brave enough to come forward and tell someone. The statistics that we have heard reported here tonight are exactly that. They're reported statistics. I can tell you the reality is far broader. The amount of individuals that I have worked with in a primary care setting who have experienced some type of violence, sexual violence specifically, within their lifetime is much greater than the statistics that we are hearing. Every survivor deserves access to resources they need for healing, safe housing, counseling, legal support, and comprehensive medical care. Unfortunately, many organizations providing these crucial services are operating on budgets that are inadequate or are constantly being stretched thin by constant cuts to budgeting. We must change that. Investing in sexual assault funding is not merely an ethical obligation. It's also wisely placed within our community to promote crime prevention and to promote the well-being or public health of our society. When survivors receive proper support, they can reclaim their lives and contribute positively to communities such as ours. By empowering individuals, we are fostering that resilience, hope, and healing that radiates far beyond, as we all know. Because again, survivors are part of our community. They're part of our families. They're part of our work environments. Again, we're talking statistics, but those statistics represent an individual. Moreover, prevention is key. With adequate funding, we could develop and implement education programs that promote consent and respect and healthy relationships from an early age. I was with my partners at RCC earlier today, and they were speaking about the funding that is being cut to their prevention programs. I urge each of you to consider the impact or our collective impacts can have. We have an opportunity to continue to change the narrative. Marcy's Law was a wonderful starting point within our state by advocating for increased funding, by believing survivors, by telling them that their voice matters, and by having meetings and discussions about issues related to funding and sexual violence. We are showing them that their voice matters. And we are hoping to end the pain that they are enduring, often again in silence. By coming together as a community, we're recognizing that we can have power and we can give them power back to the survivor. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have very brief remarks. If there's one thing I've learned in the field of victim services, it's that you listen to survivors. You put their voices first. Very shortly behind that, you put the people who are on the front lines. It's my honor every day to work with these providers that I cannot tell you how blessed we are to have them in Dane County. Not every county gets this, but their collaborative efforts are phenomenal. They're second to none. This is a gift that we have a moment in time to preserve here. So I just want to commend them for their efforts every single day in service of crime victims and survivors. We hear you, we see you, and thank you for your remarks.
Okay, our next special matter item. Did I not call the vote? Oh my God, I'm sorry. My apologies. Wow. So, Supervisor Eldren, is that a motion? We don't need a motion. Right, right. I did take the motion and second, sorry. Wow. All right. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. I totally spaced that. Sorry. Thank you, Supervisor Veldon. On to item two under special matters. Resolution 394 is recognizing April 2025 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Supervisor Jackson.
2024 Res 394, recognizing April 2025 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas April is recognized as National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and this year's theme is Powered by Hope, Strengthened by Prevention, and whereas this month provides an opportunity to raise awareness and take action to prevent child abuse and neglect, and a time for our community to come together to reflect on what each of us can do to make a positive impact on the well-being of children. And whereas in 2023 in Dane County, there were 1,280 reports of abuse or neglect of a child between the ages of 0 to 17 years made to Child Protective Services, or 11.6 incident reports per 1,000 children in the county. And whereas childhood trauma, including abuse and neglect, can have psychological, emotional, social, and physical effects throughout an individual's lifetime that often is carried forward into future generations. And whereas positive childhood experiences, PCEs, such as loving caregivers and safe, stable, and nurturing relationships play a vital role in helping children thrive by mitigating trauma and the negative impact of adverse childhood experiences, ACEs. And whereas every child deserves to grow up in a safe, supportive, and loving environment, free of abuse and neglect, so that they can prosper and live full, healthy, and happy lives. And whereas children and families who receive the support they need before a crisis occurs are better equipped to provide safe, healthy, and nurturing environments, leading to safer, healthier children who are more hopeful about their future. And whereas strengthening families through concrete economic, social, and community-based supports and investments in prevention initiatives, such as home visiting programs, family strengthening policies, and community-based child abuse prevention efforts reduces the likelihood of abuse and neglect and ensures children have the foundation for lifelong well-being. And whereas effective child abuse and neglect prevention activities succeed through the partnerships created between Dane County's child welfare professionals, early childhood professionals, nonprofits, educators, healthcare providers, community and faith-based organizations, government agencies, law enforcement agencies, first responders, and families. And whereas the Dane County Department of Human Services offers an array of services both directly and through partnerships with local agencies for families and children to prevent child abuse and neglect and build strong, safe, and healthy children and families that are positioned for future success and that will benefit the entire community. And whereas prevention of child abuse and neglect remains the best defense for our children and families, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes April 2025 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month in Dane County and celebrates the many Dane County departments and employees, community organizations, educators, law enforcement, healthcare providers, community and faith-based organizations, and other advocates who dedicate themselves to preventing child abuse and neglect in our community and to improving the quality of life for all children and families. Be it finally resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors acknowledges that we must continue to work together as a county to increase awareness about child abuse and neglect and to promote the physical, social, and emotional well-being of children and families for our county, state, and world, where every child can grow up happy, healthy, and safe with hope for the future, for their future. So moved.
Moved by Jackson, seconded by Wegleitner. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Did you wish to make some remarks, or we can move? We do have a couple folks here to speak to it.
So.
Okay. Online, we have Cheryl Cotto with. Cheryl, you can unmute and go ahead from Rainbow Project. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. And I want to thank Lisa and the county board for their proactive initiative in developing what I usually do not use those two words together, beautiful and proclamation. But at these times, it is very, very urgent and needed. And so I'm very grateful for this attention to this month. And I hope it is the beginning of continued dialogue so that there is hope that we will be able to really focus on prevention. We, at the Rainbow Project, I am executive director, and we are working in trauma in all the worlds of sexual abuse, domestic violence, child abuse, neglect, and human trafficking, and drug endangered children. We're really wanting to even more collaborate and really define in more detail some of the things that we're really facing and seeing every day. In sexual abuse, one in four women and in sexual abuse for children, one in four girls and one in 13 boys experience child sexual abuse. This is through the Center for Disease Control. And we did hand out some data for you that I hope that you've all received. And I just wanted to say, I don't know why there are two here of me, but I'm also wanting to say, I'm not trying to be cool, but I have had two eye surgeries. So that is why I'm wearing the sunglasses. I also wanted to talk about the Child Abuse Task Force and to really make sure that we have those members who have been coordinating for, I would say, since the Rainbow Project started in 1980, there has been a Child Abuse and Neglect Task Force. And that is a group that really has focused on whether there is time or not, how do we really improve service delivery? How do we not duplicate? And how do we really work together to coordinate? And so the more information we can provide to you about those differences from prevention to those early intervention and intense trauma recovery, those are things that are, those details are helpful in creating a true, complete healing kind of community rather than really just focusing in on certain silos or topics. And I'm hoping too that we'll be able to create that kind of response for all children and families. We have not really seen recovery from COVID with many of the families who have not been able to recover. And so it has been layers and layers of trauma. We've also included in your handouts some information on the levels of prevention in child abuse, specifically for parents and caregivers. Unfortunately, we're seeing much more in the area of challenge for children, shortage of childcare, shortage in teachers. And then there is also the school shootings and community violence. And that is something that we have been really being able to respond to, but it has been increasing dramatically. So we know that it can work, it can help, it can recover. We can stop and help recover in that immediate moment, but we also then are really working for the future of these children. And so we really want to also work on the impact that trauma has on children and adults. And we're seeing that response at Harmony and some of the other communities that have really rallied helping. And our child abuse CCR has said that that kind of support needs to happen with caregivers as well as the children. And so we really want to say, let's put our airplane oxygen masks on first in order to help children be able to be stable and secure. And we're seeing that effect happening. And so in the long term, we're able to work together with law enforcement. We're working with the school system. And that kind of state-of-the-art kind of collaboration is sometimes not observed or seen, and it's in the details when you're looking at recovery. And so I'm hoping that, again, we can continue to work together. If there are any questions, please please let me know.
Great. Thank you, Cheryl. And next we have with us Lieutenant Justine Harris.
Hello, my name is Justine Harris. I'm a lieutenant with the City of Madison Police Department. My current position is I oversee our Special Victims Unit, which is the unit that does the majority of investigations of crimes against children. So all of our victims are children, and if you think of any of the crimes that could happen against them, so child neglect, child abuse, sexual assault of children, trafficking of children, and then most recently what we've seen such a huge rise in is internet crimes against children. So the detectives that I oversee investigate all of those crimes, in addition to obviously the patrol officers who go out into the field and do the initial response. Last year in Madison, we saw over 400 reports of crimes against children. And as I said, those range in all of those things. It is something that I have found, I've been in this for almost 20 years now, and it is something that I have found that even within our own department, we don't like to talk about. People will talk about the shootings that we have, they'll talk about the car crashes that we have. You bring up a crime against a child and it clears the room out. People do not want to hear about what's going on in our own community. And so I greatly appreciate the fact that you all are recognizing this and recognizing the work that we do in the community and the work that our partners do in the community. Our piece of it, I think, is incredibly important, obviously, but it is a small piece. We work to stop the victimization of children and to hold the perpetrators accountable. But all that goes on after that is what all of our partners do. So the other people that you have recognized, the other organizations that you have recognized, we could not do the work in the community without them. So Safe Harbor, Rape Crisis, obviously the funding that you give to Dane County Human Services, all of that is critical because, you know, like I said, our piece, I think, is so incredibly important because only we can do it, but the children, they have needs far beyond what we can provide, and so I appreciate all that you do to support that as well. So thank you very much for recognizing our efforts and for everyone's efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor Jackson. You're on here. Were you wanting to speak to that or to announcements? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Great. Good evening. I also want to acknowledge Canopy Center for their work they've done in our committee, focusing on stabilizing and supporting children who have experienced abuse or neglect. Megan Henry, the executive director, who was formerly in charge of CASA, which is Court-Appointed Special Advocates, is here this evening, just from her own heart, and this matters to her. I'm gonna speak as an elected official that voted yes in representing 15,000 votes in this county, as well as each of you who represent 15,000 votes to show our support. But I also wanna call out the system challenges we face. As elected officials, we're not doing enough. And there are a lot of problems in what we face. As a CASA volunteer for over 25 years, spending the last 7 years here in Wisconsin, specifically Dane County. My first story is about my young man named TD. And I've shared before when we were dealing with jail issues that this young man who has a 50 IQ spent way too much time in solitary confinement at the Dane County Jail because we didn't understand what his challenges were or the system didn't have software that could understand what he was facing. It's wrong. My second story is about a young man who had severe ADD and autism. And we didn't have the resources here in Dane County, or we didn't fund the resources or do the work we need to do for our people, Chair, to take care of this man. And we had to send him to Tennessee to be cared for. The cost to our county was amazing when we could look at it differently and do what we can to support and give wraparound services of these young people. I didn't know I was going there. I don't mean to be angry, but we can sit here and puff up our breasts and be proud of the work we do in honor this month, but the work is far longer. With each of these two young men that I spoke to, I've spent 2 years of my life with each of them, one resulting in being a legal guardian of him. And this is all thanks to the work of CASA in Dane County that needs our full support. We only can do as much as we can do, but I ask you tonight, in honor of this situation, to give even more when we consider funding and support of these organizations. Thank you. Thank you, Chair, for your time.
Our third and final special matter resolution is Resolution 397, designating the week of April 21st through April 25th, 2025, as Work Zone Safety Awareness Week in Dane County. Supervisor Engelberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 2024 Resolution 397, designating the week of April 21st through April 25th, 2025 as Work Zone Safety Awareness Week in Dane County. Whereas in 1999, the Federal Highway Administration partnered with the American Association of State and Highway Officials, and more recently with the American Traffic Safety Service Association to create the National Work Zone Safety Awareness Week campaign held annually in April prior to the construction season for much of the nation. And whereas, according to data from the UW-Madison Traffic Operations and Safety Laboratories Community Maps, between 2020 and 2024, there were 56 fatalities and more than 3,600 people injured as a result of more than 10,300 crashes within Wisconsin work zones. And whereas construction and maintenance activities on our streets and highways periodically require work zones to be established, and whereas there are approximately 2,400 work zone crashes in Wisconsin each year, and whereas in 2024 alone, Wisconsin recorded 2,174 crashes in road construction and maintenance zones, which resulted in over 779 injuries and 10 fatalities. And whereas through their enforcement activities and other participation, the Dane County Sheriff's Office, Wisconsin State Patrol, and the Dane County Highway Department will strive to make Work Zone Safety Awareness Week a success in Dane County. And whereas the Federal Highway Administration has designated April 21st through April 25th, 2025 as National Work Zone Safety Awareness Week, with this year's theme, Respect the Zone So We All Can Get Home, which focuses on drivers' awareness of their speed and proximity to workers and work zones. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors designates the week of April 21st through April 25th, 2025, to be recognized as Work Zone Safety Awareness Week in Dane County, and I so move.
Moved by Engelberger, seconded by Bollig. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no.
If I could just say a couple things before I bring up Clement. Safe driving practices should always be priority. It's even more critical to drive carefully and safely while in a work safety zone. We all want to get home to our families safely. Let's make sure our construction road workers who fix our roads at great risk are able to see their families after their shifts as well. And now I'd like to introduce Clement, who is our Dane County Highway Commissioner, to say a few words.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's exactly 1 year when I stood in front of all of you and I received that same proclamation. It was the day that my appointment was approved. So it's 1 year ago. So I've made 1 year here. So I want to first of all say thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank the county executive, and thank all the board members for providing all the resources that we use to make sure that our highways are safe and for all of us to move from one point to the other point safely. There's something about highways that most people don't tend to recognize. We are actually the pre-first responder to the first responder. If the highways are not clear, the first responder can get to their destination. So we have to be there before. And it's because of all of you that Dane County is rated one of the safe, at least safe highways that we have. The main goal for the Department of Highway and Transportation is to achieve Vision Zero. And what that means is that there should be no fatality. That is our goal. It looks far-fetched, but we sincerely believe it's possible. And for it to be possible, it starts by education. And that education is what we are trying to do today, or what that we'll be trying to do next week by creating awareness. And in as much as we want all of you to get to your destination and get home safely, we also want our staff to get home or get to work, make sure the roads are safe, and for us to get home safely. So it's all of us. And that's where all of us come in right now. So that I encourage all of you that from April 21st to 25th, I challenge you to do something that create awareness of highway safety, especially in the work zone safety. It goes a long way to save our lives. So let's make Dane County the safest place in Wisconsin, in the United States, and why not the world? I know everybody says it's far-fetched, but I sincerely believe it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Clement. Okay, those are our special matters. We're on to announcements. Anyone with an announcement? Supervisor Doolin.
Thank you, Chair. We're at that time of year again. The first weekend in May is the 41st annual Trout Days in Cross Plains. So come join us in my district. There is a wine walk, no wine has been had before this, I promise. 5K run walk, music fest, the conductor derby, and garage sales, and fly fishing demonstrations, and plenty of things. There's the Rosemary Garfoot Library book sale. Please come join me. It's my favorite time of year. Thanks.
Good. Supervisor Rose.
Thank you. Just a couple of quick announcements. Thank you, Chair. Thank you for sending out that email today about the Spring Roll Challenge. You can register on Roundtrip to show how we're saving carbon dioxide and we're doing responsible travel around our county. On the Alder Manic side, I have challenged Alder Person Figueroa Cole to see who would win between Madison and Dane County. So please share with you know, your fellow colleagues and your constituents as well about this challenge that's going on right now for the month of April and out of Earth Day. Currently, we have in the county 123 members registered that are county employees. The city has 54 members registered, but they are beating our butt, so to speak, in many, many ways. So I really encourage you all to embrace this and realize that it does make a difference. Thank you, Chair. The second announcement I want to make is as co-chair of the subcommittee under HHN for the Opioid Settlement Subcommittee on April 28th. That date again is April 28th. We will hold a public meeting here in this building at 5 p.m. on the third floor to hear what people want us to do with those opioid settlement dollars, which are very different than the work we do in this room, which is really, you know, gross revenue. This is dollars that were settled for a lawsuit for the people who were affected most by the opioid crisis. So we need to hear their voices. I encourage you to be a part of that, or certainly reach out afterwards to Supervisor Kigea, Weigleitner, and myself, who sit on that committee. Remember that public opinion guides policy. It illuminates the needs and desires of our society, allowing us to craft laws that truly serve the common good. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Any other announcements? All right, seeing none, I have a couple. Let me first start with welcoming. You can see our back row is getting quite full. We're getting our county board office staff beefed up, and so I wanted to welcome our two newest members to the board office staff. We have Kayleen Mayo, who is our new legislative management system specialist / policy analyst. So Kayleen, if you want to step up, welcome Kayleen. And we have with us tonight Sarahi Garcia, who is our policy and communications intern. So happy to have them on board now. So welcome to both of you. And soon we hopefully will have another position filled. So we're on our way. So thank you. Welcome to both of you. Next, April birthdays. We have several people with April birthdays. Supervisor Kagea, Supervisor Kemp was a couple days ago, Supervisor Jackson, Supervisor Rhinelander, and Clerk McDonald all have birthdays this month. So happy birthday to all of you. All right, with that, we're on to approval of payments as our next item. We have before us the bills over $10,000 referred to the county board. Is there a motion? Moved by Veldren, seconded by Engelberger. Any discussion, questions on the bills? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries, and the bills are approved to be paid. So moving on then to approval of minutes. We have before us the March 20th County Board meeting minutes. Is there a motion? Moved by Ballig, seconded by Doolin. Discussion, questions, corrections on the meeting minutes? Hearing none. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. With that, the motion carries. The meeting minutes are approved. So we're on to the consent calendar. We have 18 items before us this evening. Are there any requests for separation? Okay. Hearing Supervisor Wiegand.
I'd just like to be recorded as voting no on F3, 4, and 13. Thank you.
Did you get this?
13, 1-3.
Okay. All right, there being no requests for separation outside of those noted no votes from Supervisor Wiegand, what is before us as committee action on those 18 items. So all in favor of approval of the consent calendar items, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That the motion carries. On to H, reports on zoning petitions. We have three items before us this evening. Any requests for separation? Hearing no requests for separation, what is before us is a Zoning and Land Regulation Committee action on those three items. So all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That the motion carries. Those items are adopted. We're on to L, appointments. We have before us Resolution 383, County Executive Appointments. And what is before us is Executive Committee recommendation of approval, and that was made unanimously earlier this evening. Any discussion on Resolution 383? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. And with that, motion carries. Resolution is adopted. On to M, items requiring more than a simple majority. We have 10 items. I am separating item 8. Any other requests for separation, Supervisor Welsh?
Thanks. I'd just like to be recorded as abstaining on item 6.
Item 6. All right. You'll be recorded as abstaining on item 6. Supervisor Weigand.
I'd like to be recorded as voting no on M1 and M10. Thank you.
Wagner's recorded no on items M1 and 10. Supervisor, all right. So, Supervisor Wegleitner, I'm assuming are you asking for separation? I separated item 8. Is there another item you'd like separated?
No, I was just going to ask to be recorded as abstaining on M1.
M1. Excuse me. Okay. Abstaining on M1, and Supervisor Doolin. M1 as well, you'll be abstaining on M1. Okay, all right, so on the balance of items M1 through 7, 9 and 10, what is before us is committee action, committee recommendations. So I'd like to record those as having passed unanimously with the exception of Supervisor Weigand's 2 no votes and the abstentions on a few items by a few people. So if there's no objection, it'll be so recorded. Hearing no objection, it'll be so recorded. Those items are adopted. So we shall move. And I should have said we did have one registrant in support not wishing to speak of M7. My apologies. M8 is, let's see. M8 is Resolution 374, accepting State of Wisconsin CDBG DR funds in the HAA Division of Human Services. Supervisor Wegleitner.
BCC earlier today forwarding some information from our CDBG manager, Joanna Cervantes, who I believe is on the Zoom. Is here on, there she is. Okay, thanks for coming on camera. So you can refer to that email, but there have been some kind of minor changes since the contract had come to the Health and Human Needs Committee. So I was just wondering, Joanna, could you kind of just summarize those changes for the board? These are all in the updated contract in Legistar, but Joanna's just going to kind of go through them quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. So in front of you, it's the Resolution 374. The three changes that were made would be defined more as like conditions. It does not impact the budget, beneficiaries, nor the scope of the work. It's more of conditions that are typically set in any given contract, and it's under advisement of both Dane County and the state of Wisconsin's Corporation Council, and in making sure that the contract truly reflects those conditions that are going to be met by either party. So one of the conditions that you'll see is on Article 3, which is on page 2. This was under, this was Dane County's Corporation Council. It was language change. And so pretty much it changed the language more to say like that each party shall be responsible for the consequences of its own acts, errors, and or omissions. Whereas before it said that the grantee shall indemnify and hold harmless the state. Again, this is language that was provided directly by Dane County's Corporation Council, and then that was then revised to in the contract. The second change there, this was now revision by the state of Wisconsin's legal team, and that change changed the word like state to department. And then in that same clause, and this is Article 10, in that Article 10, and then said that the department shall have no liability. It reworded the language before that where it said like the department shall have no liability to the grantee whatsoever. And I, what that condition is referring to is just in the federal funding, you know, if the funding were to go away, essentially, that or if we're if the project is ineligible, that is where it's having that clause there. And then the third condition change that was modified, this was under guidance of Dane County's Corporation Council. It wasn't reflecting the three fair housing actions that Dane County had identified in its application for the CDBG disaster relief funds. And so in the final version that you see today, it does have the three changes there. I think some of the language before said like create a standing housing committee that reports to the city council. Well, we're not a city council. You guys are a county board. And so, we just had the language truly reflect that the work that we do here in Dane County. I'm available if any questions do arise. And I'm available, you know, if there's anything I can help clarify.
Great. And this is these are disaster release funds through made available through the state, federal funds through the HUD's CDBG program. Is that right, Joanna, for a project in Village of Oregon?
That is correct.
And is this, is there a time sensitivity to this resolution?
There is, and there's a risk of losing funds if we're unable to submit a signed grant agreement to them in a rather quick time frame. Initially, when we received the first set of contract, it was they wanted like a 5-day turnaround time. Here at Dane County, there's a process we have to follow where it has to go through committees and, you know, go through the county board, get the county board approval through that resolution. And so we're well past the 5-day mark that they had initially set for us. I communicated the process to the state that it would be before you today, and they are willing to work with us within that timeline. If we were to push it out even further, the risk is of losing the funds.
Thank you, Joanna. And then I have a question for Deputy Corp Counsel Galt. Do you have any concerns with us adopting the resolution tonight, even though there have been some revisions since it was first at the standing committee?
No, it would be completely within the confines of the open meetings law to proceed. The statute only requires that we notice the subject matter of the contract, which was clearly on the agenda. So it's properly noticed and before the board. The contract, you know, when I talked to Joanna this afternoon, I urged her the time of the essence of getting the revised contract up on Legislature before tonight so everybody would have it available. So it's technically in the chamber here tonight. It's a little odd procedurally wise to move forward. I, you know, the first question I had for Joanna late this afternoon when this came up is how time sensitive is this? Because, you know, the easy thing to do would be to just re-refer it. But the answer she gave me was if, and we only have one county board meeting in April too. So, you know, it became evident that time was of the essence. So from a legal standpoint, no problem moving forward. It's properly noticed and you have the document available to you now.
Thank you. I do not think that this should be, you know, re-referred or anything. I think the changes that have been made, certainly with each party, you know, bearing responsibility in that first change, improves the contract from Dane County's interests. So I think these are, acceptable, positive changes that are, you know, that the attorneys were continuing to review as this went through the process. I also think this is an important for us to get HUD funds into our community that are desperately needed. And with the federal environment being very uncertain and with the state being patient and working with us right now, I don't want to push that envelope any further. So I hope you all will vote in favor of this resolution tonight.
Thank you, Supervisor Wegleitner. All right, so on Resolution 374, what is before us is Health and Human Needs Committee recommendation for approval. This requiring more than a simple majority, I'd like to record it as having passed unanimously unless there's anyone who wishes to vote otherwise. Hearing no objection, it will be so recorded and Resolution 374 is adopted. Excuse me. We're on to O, other such business as the county board is authorized to conduct by law. Supervisor Kemp.
Thank you, Chair Miles. I'd like to move action item 24, ordering a 2025 special election for Dane County Supervisor District 1.
We have a motion by Kemp, seconded by Erickson to order for approval of action item 24, ordering a special election for District 1. Discussion. Okay. No discussion on the item. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. And with that, the motion carries. And the special election is set. Okay, that takes care of that. So we're on to adjournment. Is our motion to adjourn? Moved by Erickson, second by Rhinelander. Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. With that, motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Good night.